Bo and McGee for TKD.
Boy, folks, if you were looking for a good segment, you found it. You've reached the TKD special update.
Hell yeah, Brad!
Welcome to the TKD update presented to you by Mo and McGee.
Chicken or chicken?
Logan, welcome.
Well, how's it going, Kevin? I know I'm feeling pretty good because I just got my third high point total of the season. Almost to that money back territory with a lot of games left. Just house money, Kevin.
Yeah, you said it before. Your team, you said it off recording, but your team either puts up 170 or 100. So could mean an interesting playoff for you, but right now you're riding high.
And the problem, Kevin, is there's just not much separation in these standings. A lot of 4-2 teams vying for that top spot. I think this will be an interesting week with all the buys going on. Will you see me at 4-2 have some buy issues? Carter is going to be at 4-2 with some buy issues. Teams will be hurting. Could see some separation in the standings.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, it's bipocalypse. Hitting some teams harder than others. Interesting that it seems to be the good teams. So maybe a potential for those of us that have been the have-nots to catch up.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to go kind of in the time machine and go back to this most recent waiver period, the offers report. Kramer spends big money, $98 on Devontae Booker. I spend big money on Daryl Williams, $89. Daryl Williams, I told you on the podcast last week, much better pickup. It kind of burned Kramer this week.
It did. Didn't get as much out of Booker. I think maybe his rationale for going Booker over Williams had something to do with having Saquon. So that might have played into it. I would have... If he asked for my opinion, which he should have, I would have said, always grab not your handcuff if you have the opportunity. And that would have looked a lot better for him. But it's interesting. If you look at the second highest bids on those guys, Booker was higher than Daryl Williams as well. So maybe we were a little bit ahead of the group consensus there and seeing that Daryl was maybe a step ahead.
Yeah, Kramer also put in a big bid on Daryl Williams as well. Needs some running back help. I think he realized it and spending money, which we like to see. As we go over to the budget summary, it's kind of odd that Carter, we've mentioned him. He's a team that's 4-2. He's going to run into some buy issues, and he has a lot of money to spend. Does he go off during waivers this Wednesday?
I would say that he should. Knowing Carter, that might not be in the cards for him. Just knowing that he doesn't typically make a lot of moves in the season, it might sneak up on him. Or he might have checked his lineup and he sees some of this coming and he has all that budget to spend. He can get whoever he wants as long as he ponies up the cash.
Yeah, some teams that might be in trouble as far as their budget goes. Garrett's down to $43, has made some not wise investments, but he is going to be 4-2 as well after kicking your ass, Kevin. Is Garrett's team good enough to make a run?
I think I picked Garrett as the guy that was most likely to fall out of the top six last week, and I think my feelings are still the same even after he did beat me. He's just doesn't have the running back help. I think that he's going to need to survive the rest of the season. He needs Javonte to really flourish. Otherwise, just not enough fill-ins.
Yeah, he's a guy, Kevin, where we talk week after week after week, make some trades. This guy is so wide receiver heavy, has so many usable wide receiver pieces. It's just odd to me that he hasn't offered someone a trade. Maybe he has. He hasn't offered me, but he has Tyreek Hill, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, all reasonable wide receiver one or twos. On his bench, he has Henry Ruggs, Brandon Cooks, and Rashad Bateman, Kadarius Toney, all good, usable pieces. There's got to be a trade out there for him, you think?
Yeah, there has to be. How many wide receivers can you play at one time?
Three.
Ooh. Not good.
Well, we are talking about Garrett here, so.
One thing before we move on from waivers that I do want to collect your thoughts on. Hari picks up Latavius Murray, who you dropped, for $30. Do you like that move? Before the Latavius Murray injury, I think we have to be cognizant that, like, he obviously didn't have that information going in. But Hari obviously in need of some running back help. What do you think about that?
He should have spent money for Booker or Darrell Williams. Should have spent money for a guy like Khalil Herbert or Damian Williams. Instead, Hari has been resting on his laurels. It burnt him this week. He scored 90 points. His running backs stink, Kevin. They're terrible. He lost David Montgomery, which is unfortunate, but he has Zach Moss. He picked up Latavius. Those were his starting running backs this week. On his bench, he has Ty Johnson. It's amazing to me that Hari has won any games with the running back group.
Yeah, he has been bolstered by those three wide receivers and good games from Jalen Hurts as well. Did not make a budget bid when the main waivers rolled through and was kind of left with a drop player there. So hopefully he's a little bit more ahead of the game this week, especially with Zach Moss on bye and Latavius Murray unlikely to play, staring at Ty Johnson in an empty bench spot or in an empty starter spot right now, which is not a spot you want to be in.
No, and we kind of mentioned on episode one, there was no big injuries that could prove fruitful. I mean, he's kind of staring down the barrel at starting Ty Johnson and D'Ernest Johnson or Demetric Felton. Woof.
If he gets one of them.
The strangest thing to me, it doesn't seem like people want to win the league. I mean... You have to be very good to win. There's a lot of good teams. There's very few great teams. And you, we've mentioned this a few times. You got to be great to win a championship. Just seems to me that there's some teams out there that, for whatever reason, don't want to win.
Yeah. You can be an okay team and make the playoffs. You can be a good team and make the playoffs. But you're going to be running against the cream of the crop, the best teams in the league. And you have to prepare yourself for that moment.
Zach Moss, Latavius Murray, Ty Johnson, not going to get it done unless all three receivers go nuclear at the same moment. Let's head over. We kind of did a quick standings check. I think we have to check in on our boy, Dustin. As I think you mentioned, he's got to be starting to train for the beer mile.
Yeah, he has to be. I think he is. I think I was in Cedar Falls Thursday night, and I think I saw him leave early Friday morning with a six-pack headed to the gym, getting the full experience of being ready. So faces Greg this week. Greg does have a few buys that he has to navigate around, but it looks like Michael Thomas is going to be out a few weeks, so I don't know if Dusty Xavier is going to be back soon enough. He sounds prepared to run it, and he should be.
Yeah, a guy that has nice pieces we've mentioned before, just hasn't put it together all in one week yet. He has been scoring points, didn't score much this week with Chubb being out of the lineup. not looking good for Dusty. Let's head to what we think might be the matchup of the week. I won, of course, our matchup of the week last week in dominating fashion, kicking Greg's ass. So where are you going for your matchup of the week this week, Kevin?
Yeah, so a lot of matchups out there look like they could be heavily impacted by buys. So the one that we might see the two highest scoring teams in would be Swift versus Higgins. So Swift at 3-2 or at 4-2 will have a good opportunity to separate himself from the pack if he can get one over Luke. If Luke drops to 2-5, you know, he's probably not scared of beer mile or alternative punishment, whatever we're doing nowadays. Playoffs are going to be looking pretty rough. Swift is going to be without any, none of the starters will be out, and Luke will only be out Josh Allen and Dawson Knox. So if he can fill in a couple guys, I think this is where there's potential to see some of the highest scoring in week 7.
Absolutely. I like Swift in that matchup. Nice team, Higgins, but, you know, once again, just not quite good enough to face the big dogs like me.
Nope, just not quite. To say, Kevin? What's that? Well, I was just watching Wally walk into the room as soon as he said big dogs. And I was like, well, that was.
Yeah, he heard his.
That's heard the his calling name. Card, huh? So. Yeah. I think that's a good matchup of the week. You could throw out some others. Dusty needs a win against Greg. If we were to throw a constellation out there, and then a bunch of 4-2 teams matching up. So should be some exciting stuff. Interesting to see how the waiver wire goes with some of these buys.
I get to face Hari, which we talked about, you know, going to be going through some running back issues. Even when my best running back's on by Kevin, still looking to dominate him in points from the running back position. So,
yeah, your best running back is going to be out, and you still might have two better than Hari this week.
Whoops.
And that's not speaking good about your team. That's speaking poorly about Hari's team.
Yeah, folks, we should bring in some of the banter. Kevin says he still doesn't like my team. ESPN gives me a 97% playoff percentage. I'm number one in points by a large margin. I mean, what's not to like, Kevin?
I just think it's your most beatable team in a while. I think this is the year that you're most susceptible to one injury taking down your entire team. We'll see, though. You seem to have a horseshoe up your ass when it comes to things like that.
Well, Kevin, I mean, let's not discount the hard work. I picked up Daryl Williams, Elijah Mitchell, making some moves. I do have to start Tyler Boyd this week, which sucks. My depth at wide receiver is terrible. As you mentioned, I'm one injury away from being in a not good spot at the wide receiver position, but I'm going to throw trade offers out there. I only have $33 left in fab, so probably won't be seeing me make any aggressive moves in that front for the rest of the season, but we'll see.
Last thing here, in lieu of a TKD story, I'm challenging you all to make a story. How about that? A little hoorah. Go win one for the skipper this weekend. We're all drowning ourselves in alcohol after the Hawks loss. Let's hope that it's not. Hope that better days are ahead.
Yeah, I want to give, in lieu of a TKD story from me, Kevin, I'm going to give everyone out there a little drink recipe, a shot recipe.
Ooh.
I want you to go to, this might not be at your local liquor store, but you're going to find a vanilla liqueur called Liqueur 43. It's a golden liqueur. It's vanilla. It looks like beer. And what you do is you pour a little of it in a shot glass. You put some whipping cream or some heavy whipping cream on top of it, and it looks like a mini beer. Mm. Shoot it. it's delicious. It's sweet. It tastes like a little vanilla candy. And I got pretty wasted off on the last two weekends. So, you know, throwing it out there as a drink recipe, make yourself some shots. You want to impress some people. They're cool looking shots, mini beers. Go have yourself some fun.
I love it. Make it happen.
All right, TKD boys. Another week, another Mo domination. We'll see if I can keep it going.
And we'll see you next time, folks. Mo and McGee on TKD.